Welcome to day 24 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. This is our fourth day studying the covenant of God, the covenant that God made with man. We're at section 5 of chapter 7 of the Confession, which begins, "This covenant was differently administered in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel." This covenant, to remind you of what we saw yesterday, is not talking about the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. It's talking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant together, comprising this covenant of grace, which is a overarching covenant after Adam's fall, distinguished from the covenant of works, which the Westminster theologians sort of infer from the narrative of Adam's life before the fall. So there's the covenant of works, and then there's a covenant of grace, and the covenant of grace is administered differently in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel. And maybe perhaps the reason why some theologians disagree with the existence of this covenant of works and have some problems with this formulation is the rather hard contrast drawn between the time of the law and the time of the gospel. The fact is that there was a lot of grace in Adam's pre-fall life. Being put in paradise is very gracious, just to begin with. But there's also a lot of grace in what the confession here calls the time of the law. And there are certainly commands in what the confession calls the time of the gospel. So there are emphases and perspectives, but not necessarily such a hard and fast line as the confession would like to make you think there is. Anyway, we don't have to agree with every jot and tittle of the Westminster Standards, and you don't have to agree with anything I say, so let's just keep reading. Under the law, it, this covenant of grace, was administered by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Paschal Lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews, all for signifying Christ to come, which were, for that time, sufficient and efficacious through the operation of the Spirit to instruct and build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah, by whom they had full remission of sins and eternal salvation, and is called the Old Testament. So let's look at the scripture texts to prove these points. The covenant was administered in the time of the law and in the time of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 3:6 through 9, "Who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." Under the law, this covenant of grace was administered by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Paschal Lamb, and other types and ordinances delivered to the people of the Jews, all for signifying Christ to come. And the confession recommends that we look at Hebrews 8 through 10, all three chapters in their entirety. And also Romans 4:11, "And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he," of course being Abraham, "had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Colossians 2:11 and 12, "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Drawing an analogy between circumcision in the old administration of the covenant of grace and baptism in the new administration of the covenant of grace. And 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Passover in the old, Christ in the new. Which these promises, prophecies, sacrifices, etc., which were, for that time, sufficient and efficacious through the operation of the Spirit to instruct and build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So baptism and arguably the Lord's Supper in the Old Covenant. Old, that is to say, the old administration of the covenant of grace. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. By whom they had full remission of sins and eternal salvation, and is called the Old Testament. Galatians 3:7-9 and 14. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the gospel, the good news, is that all nations shall be blessed. Let's look now at the larger catechism, questions 33 and 34, which pretty much sums up what we've just seen with some additional information. Question 33, was the covenant of grace always administered after one and the same manner? Answer, the covenant of grace was not always administered after the same manner, but the administrations of it under the Old Testament were different from those under the New. And again, we're referred to 2 Corinthians 3, 6-9, which we just read about the ministration of death and the ministration of the Spirit. Question 34, how was the covenant of grace administered under the Old Testament? Answer, the covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by promises, prophecies, sacrifices, circumcision, the Passover, and other types and ordinances, which did all foresignify Christ then to come, and were for that time sufficient to build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah, by whom they then had full remission of sin and eternal salvation. Pretty much repetition of the section we just read from the Confession, with a few additional verses. The covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by promises. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by prophecies, Acts 3:20 and 24. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 24, yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. The covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by sacrifices, Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The covenant of grace was administered under the Old Testament by circumcision, Romans 4:11, which we read above, that he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, Abraham did. The covenant of grace was administered by the Passover. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover. And other types and ordinances which did all foresignify Christ then to come, and were for that time sufficient to build up the elect in faith in the promised Messiah. Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10, and Hebrews 11:13. We saw that in the Confession section 7, I mean, chapter 7, section 5, which we just read. And finally, by whom they then had full remission of sin and eternal salvation. And again, it's Galatians 3, 7 through 9 and 14, which we read above, with the gospel being preached unto Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now we move to back to the confession, chapter 7, this time moving ahead to section 6, which talks about the new covenant, or that is to say, the New Testament, the new administration of the covenant of grace. Section 6 of chapter 7, under the gospel, when Christ, the substance, was exhibited, the ordinances in which this covenant is dispensed are the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which, though fewer in number, and administered with more simplicity and less outward glory, yet in them it is held forth in more fullness, evidence, and spiritual efficacy to all nations, both Jews and Gentiles, and is called the New Testament. There are not, therefore, two covenants of grace differing in substance, but one and the same under various dispensations. And some would say that the dispensations differ in some ways, but there are not really two diametrically opposed dispensations, because we are, if we're believers, blessed with faithful Abraham, who was part of the old and had the gospel preached to him. But let's go back and look at the scripture verses. Under the gospel, when Christ, the substance, Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Under the gospel, when Christ, the substance, was exhibited, the ordinances in which this covenant is dispensed are the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 11:23-25, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner he took the cup, which when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And these two ordinances, preaching and administration of sacraments, although fewer in number and administered with more simplicity and less outward glory, yet in them it is held forth in more fullness, evidence, and spiritual efficacy. We're told to look at Hebrews 12:22-27. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may alone remain. Jeremiah 31:33-34, but this shall be covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So this is held forth in more fullness, evidence, and spiritual efficacy to all nations, both Jews and Gentiles. Again, Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go to all nations. And Ephesians 2:15-19. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And this is called the New Testament. Luke 22:20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There are not, therefore, two covenants of grace, differing in substance, but one and the same under various dispensations. Galatians 3:14-16, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Romans 3:21-23, and 30, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's Old Covenant, Old Testament, Old Administration. Romans 4, selected verses. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not, as though they were. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And finally, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, we've gone 5 minutes over time. You can turn off the audio right now if you'd like to, but I'd like to just finish up a restatement of what we've seen briefly. Question 35 of the larger catechism. How is the covenant of grace administered under the New Testament? Under the New Testament, when Christ the substance was exhibited, the same covenant of grace was and still is to be administered in the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, in which grace and salvation are held forth in more fullness, evidence, and efficacy to all nations. The first phrase that the covenant of grace is to be administered in the preaching of the word, Mark 16:15, he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. The next phrase on the administration of the sacraments of baptism, we have again the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. And the Lord's Supper, again the same proof text, 1 Corinthians 11. And in which grace and salvation are held forth in more fullness, evidence, and efficacy to all nations. And finally, the proof here is 2 Corinthians 3, again the ministration of death versus the ministration of the Spirit, Hebrews 8:6, which is a quotation from Jeremiah 33. We read Jeremiah 33, but let's read Hebrews 8:6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And once again, a quotation from the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So now we've finished the Confession and the Catechism's material on the Covenant of Grace, and tomorrow we move into Christ the Mediator. Thanks for allowing me to go a bit overtime today. See you tomorrow.